We call this segment By the Book here at the Nachum Segal Network, brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers Jerusalem. Go to korenpub.com, korenpub.com for information. Rabbi Shalom Hammer joins us this week. Rabbi Shalom Hammer is responsible for the book we call the Family Parsha book. Rabbi Shalom Hammer served under the Rabbinate Division of the Israel Defense Forces and currently serves as a lecturer for the IDF, Fort Tzahal, to help motivate troops in all divisions and infuse Jewish identity. In addition, he's currently involved in the organization which he started called Makom Meshutaf, presenting programs throughout the country on the basics of Judaism without coercion to secular kibbutzim and moshavim. You can find out more at the website makommeshutaf.com. Rabbi Hammer is a contributing writer for the Jerusalem Post, has authored 5 books, and is a renowned guest lecturer for communities throughout the diaspora, including the U.S., United Kingdom, South Africa, and Australia. More information is available at rabbihammer.com. Again, that's rabbihammer.com. Rabbi Shalom Hammer, author of the Family Parsha book, welcome to the Nachum Segal Network.
Thank you very much, Nachum. Wonderful to be here.
I appreciate that. I always admire those with so many books about the Parshios out there. I always admire those who are able to set themselves apart in the style, in the format, in the information that they provide in their specific Parsha book. And yours obviously falls into that category. What makes the Family Parsha book different from others?
Well, the Family Parsha book is not really a book that you read as a commentary. It's an active book. It is meant to, and it was specifically designed for families to sit around the table on Shabbat or at their own will and to discuss and go through the Parsha according to a system of questions and answers. And that is supposed to invoke a certain amount of conversation around the Parsha and the ideas that are going around the Parsha itself. So it's really an active, participatory type of book that encourages people to discuss the Parsha amongst themselves, amongst the family. It's designed not only for children, but for adults as well, and designed in such a way that adults can help the children and children can answer questions and they can get involved and immersed in discussion revolving around the Parsha itself.
And I remind everybody that the Family Parsha book is published by Magid Books, a division of Koren, you can get information at magidbooks.com and, as we said, korenpub.com. There, you mentioned about conversation, about getting family involved and people of all ages really involved in the Parsha, and I think that's what the greatest distinction is between this and a regular book of commentary, is that, as you said earlier, one may read and may gain from the from those who write commentary in the Parsha, but this is more of a discussion. And you really use a unique opportunity with all the different quiz questions that you ask and all the fill-in-the-blanks that you expect people at the table or in other arenas to answer. You use the opportunity to really engage people just to find out what type of basic information they know about the Parsha. Often we don't realize what we do or don't know about that week's Parsha.
Exactly right. And what happens is as follows. We begin each week's Parsha begins with something called Parsha points, which gives a synopsis, a very clear, short synopsis in 4 or 5 points describing what the Parsha on whole talks about. And then you go into the activity, which is a system of questions that goes every single week from the Aleph Bet. In other words, from Aleph through Taf, the entire Hebrew alphabet. Every question is its own obvious question, but then the answer begins with that associated letter. So the first question, for example, the answer will begin with an aleph. The second question, the answer will begin with a bet. The third, and so on and so forth. In addition, Koren did a beautiful job in enhancing the book, and next to certain questions, there's a star, and that star tells you that's a little bit more of a difficult or challenging question. We also have under some of the questions, whenever there is a halachic or Jewish law issue that relates to that specific question or point that's being discussed, it is pointed out so that you can further the discussion around that halachic or law issue that that evolves from that specific question itself.
So, for instance, the one I'm looking at about the halachas of hamotzi and etilat yadayim and birkat hamazon, that's something that you would classify as a halachic issue that's explored there, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And that's based on the Pasuk al Haaretz Asher Shenatan Lanu, based on the issue of where we learn the exact commandment to say Birkat HaMazon, to say grace after meals. So then we go into a little bit further discussion of what's its basis, when do we say grace after meals, Birkat HaMazon, at what point, how exactly should we say it, and so on and so forth.
Rabbi Shalom Hammer is with us. The book, the family Parsha book, is dedicated to your son, Yaakov Hammer, who now serves in the Nachal Combat Brigade, and to the soldiers of Tzahal. Now, we mentioned in the introduction that you have a close connection, even these days, with the soldiers of Tzahal. A natural for this to be the dedication, or additional reasons that we should know about?
You know what? It got to a point. It's my fifth book. I finished it up, at least the editing and whatnot, when my son or our son was going into the Army. And I am very close to Chayalei Tzahal. I work regularly, consistently with the soldiers in Tzahal. And I felt that I wanted to do something special, that my son should be safe in his service, that the Chayalim in general in Tzahal should all be safe and should be able to continue to protect us, but should, of course, come back without any harm and should have Shalom al Yisrael. And I thought that it was appropriate to dedicate it to him, to them, to his brigade, and hopefully in that schut of the merit of learning that they should be protected as well, of course.
Amen. How does a piece about the Parsha become a Parsha puzzler?
Happens is like this. After going through all of the questions, there are three more sections on each parsha. One is called the Parsha Puzzler, in which it's a more in-depth question. So, again, it's supposed to enhance conversation. It could be a question that's from one of the commentaries on the parsha. Classically, it will be taken from the various Rishonim, such as the Ramban, or Rashi, or the Ibn Ezra, or Sfarno, and it encourages people to be involved in a certain particular issue or problem that involves in the parsha itself, and again, to get involved in a little more depth conversation. The second part of that, the end of each parsha, has something called Haftarah Highlights, in which we connect the parsha and the Haftarah. I always felt it was very, very important. Sometimes we get so involved in the parsha itself that we kind of gloss over the Haftarah and don't always recognize, or we fail to see the connection between the two, and I felt that's very important for families to feature as well and to understand. And finally, we have something called the learning lesson, in which just a lesson that the families could take away with them, that kids could take away with them, a lesson from the Parsha that's practical to today's world.
Rabbi Hammer, do you find it, for some people it's disturbing, I don't know if that's the right word though, when it comes to Torah study to use that kind of word, but some people are irked by the fact that there are midrashim and there are what I guess one might refer to as trivial pieces of our tradition, which many kids especially, but even adults, think actually are in the Torah, that are actually part of one of the parshiot. Is this something you could address in terms of how so many of those items became to many people as if they are written in the Torah themselves?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think to a large extent, not that I consider myself an expert in the area, there are many more qualified people, Rabbanim scholars, far more qualified to deal with that question than me. But I do feel in general that in the Jewish learning world of today, things become very watered down. And we have a tendency to, you know, kind of immediately attach ourselves to the stories and to the ideas around the text rather than analyzing and understanding the simple text that's in front of us. Not simple, but complex, but meaning the simple understanding of what's going on in the text and what the Torah is trying to tell us directly from the verse. So sometimes, you know, learning in general, not just learning the Torah, not just learning the Chamishah Chumshei Torah, the Bible as we would call it, but also learning other texts in Judaism becomes very watered down, and we get so enveloped with the lessons and the stories and the things that are around them, rather than concentrating on really our learning skills and on understanding exactly what the Torah straight is trying to teach us from the text itself. And I tried to stay very true in this book to the text, to review of the text, to learning how to read the text, to even, there are many questions that are from Rashi. So Rashi's commentary, true, many of Rashi's are based, of course, on the Medrash or from the Medrash directly, but I tried to stay true to the main Rashi's that relate to the understanding of what the text is trying to tell us. Again, to give people that direction in terms of learning skill set to stay true to the text, to understand the text, to appreciate what the Torah in its essence is really trying to relate to us and what the Parsha is all about.
Rabbi Shalom Hammer is with us. We're involved now in Parshios that are quite different than the ones in Bereishis and the beginning of Shmos. Sometimes people find it easier to write about those and to provide information about those and to convey information about those. Did you approach these Parshios as we got into Vayikra and these weeks any differently than you did with Bereishis and Shmos?
Well, you know what, again, it comes down to Vayikra always becomes much more challenging than the rest of the Torah because it's just so much more foreign to us. You're dealing with karbanot, with sacrifices, as with tuma and tara, purity and impurity, which are things that are very esoteric to us, very foreign to us. We don't really deal with them, obviously, today on a daily basis, as opposed to many other parshiot, which may be story, it may have more of a story mode to them, more lessons or episodes that take place that families can relate to better. So what I tried to do in these parshiot, the various Torah portions of the Korbanot, I did feel it's very important to get at least down the principles of what's going on in the sacrifices, in Tumah and Tara, impurity, purity, etc. And I also tried to concentrate on many and try to concentrate on things that will also relate to us from the Parsha to be able to relate to us today, to make it more at home and to make it easier for us to understand and comprehend.
Is the Family Parsha book out for a while already and now is being either redone or reissued by Koren? How does it work?
Yes, what happened was interesting. A number of years ago, I found this obscure book in an Israeli bookstore. It seemed like it was kind of put together, like just pieced, and not by a main publisher. And I bought it. I saw that it was a Hebrew, it was in Hebrew, and it went through the Parsha with questions of Aleph Bet, like that format, as I said. And I said, wow, this is brilliant. And we started doing it around my table with my kids, and we really enjoyed it. And people would come over, and they never found this book either, but they saw that we were reviewing the Parsha together with the kids. It got them involved. It got the family involved. It kind of became like sort of competitive, but in a friendly way, if that's possible. But it certainly encouraged a certain amount of earnestness, involvement, and interest. And people said, wow, this is great. And I had two of my very close friends here, the Tobins and the Waxmans. They happened to be here a number of times, and they saw us go through the Parsha, and they said, you know what? You should really make this available to the wider public, you know, to the English-speaking public as well. And I said, that's a great idea. And that's where they really suggested the idea, and they kind of gave me direction. And I took it from there and started to put it together. But I enhanced it. I said it needs more to the book, not just the review of the questions, because that's kind of like textbooky. And, you know, I wanted people to really be able to discuss more, to learn more, things that they could bring home for themselves, to their families, things that they could impart to their children as well, hence all the other sections that I added to the book as well.
Rabbi Shalom Hammer is with us, served under the Rabbinate Division of the IDF and currently serves as lecturer in IDF to help motivate troops in all divisions and infuse Jewish identity. In addition, he's currently involved in the organization which he started called Makom Meshutaf, presenting programs throughout the country on the basics of Judaism without coercion to secular kibbutzim and moshavim. You can find out more at makommeshutaf.com. Rabbi Hammer is contributing writer for the Jerusalem Post, has authored 5 books, is a renowned guest lecturer for communities throughout the diaspora, including the U.S., United Kingdom, South Africa, and Australia. There's more information available at rabbihammer.com, and he is available for speaking engagements throughout the year. And to book a lecture or Shabbat weekend, you could visit rabbihammer.com and do it right there. Also, we mentioned the book is dedicated to his son Yaakov, currently serving in the Nahal Combat Brigade and the soldiers of Tzahal. When you speak to these soldiers, it's specifically those with religious backgrounds or those only with secular backgrounds, or both?
It's both, but to be honest, most of the time I'm speaking to secular soldiers. I specifically prefer to do that. I believe with regards to religious soldiers, although all soldiers need a certain amount of chizuk, a certain amount of encouragement, and certainly, you know, a certain amount of tmicha, support, while they're serving in the army, everyone needs that. There's challenges for every single soldier. But secular soldiers, I try to concentrate, and that's why we call ourselves, the branch that I work for is called the Jewish Identity Branch, through an organization called Machane Meshutaf, Unified Camp, and we have recognized that that soldiers today and secular Israelis today really have a hard time identifying with basics, foundations of Judaism, things that we take for granted. They don't know. They're not being educated towards it. They're losing interest in it. Certainly in today's generation, the me generation, the internet generation, the old concept of the pioneer, the chalutz, who had to sacrifice for his country and for his people, that concept is to a certain extent being compromised. And it's very, very important to infuse our troops not only with an understanding of what it means to give of your time for the sake of a people and a land, but to understand what the message of that land is, the Jewish homeland. Part of that, and a large part of it, is understanding what it means to be Jewish. Not necessarily religious, but to be Jewish. What it means to have the basics and foundations of being from the legacy of an Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which many of them are not familiar with and don't even know who those three people are. So, We try to get to the fundamentals, to infuse the soldiers with an understanding of why and what it means to be Jewish, and the importance, the credence, the greatness of serving in the Jewish army in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel.
How do you know if it works? How do you know if it penetrates them to the point where it makes change for them?
Like in anything in education, you never know 100%, but you are dealing with an extremely impressionable age. You're dealing with, you know, kids who are, or I should say young men and young women who are in the ages of 18 to 22. That's a very, very serious age where they can easily be molded, make an impression, and certainly can be influenced to understand and appreciate who they are. In addition, when they're serving in the army, they're thirsty. They're thirsty for meaning. They're doing a lot of work that doesn't always make sense to them, that's difficult, that's challenging, that's even compromising to a certain extent in terms of their lives, and it's very important for them to make meaning of that. So they're kind of ripe for the situation. Having said that, we see a tremendous amount of success. The way that we see the success is, you know, it depends how you measure success, like in anything in life, but success could be a soldier coming over to you after you speak and saying, thank you so much, that gave me chizuk, that really made me feel good, and, you know, I can continue my mission for the next week. It might be a soldier coming over to you and asking you a question, even if it seems derogatory or conflicting to what you're trying to say. That's fine. The fact that they have engaged in dialogue, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to spur inside of them a certain reaction that they should gain interest. And then on top of that, we have soldiers who have asked us to come home to spend Shabbat. And when I say we, I don't mean just me and my family. I mean the lecturers, the many lecturers who serve in this unit in the Army. So we see a tremendous amount of progress, and you know, and it rubs off. And it's fairly obvious. And again, like I said, even when it's subtle, we measure that as being successful.
Interesting. And do they ever take the opportunity themselves to explore the texts and to look at these things in an even more serious and academic manner?
Absolutely. What we do in Machane Meshutaf, we distribute over 70,000 books a year for free to the soldiers on basic fundamentals in Judaism. We have books on all of the Chagim, on all of the Jewish holidays. We have a book on Shabbat. We have a book on Jewish prayer. Again, we aren't coercing them. We don't tell them to do anything, but the books are available if they want them. They could read them every Shabbat. There's even a Parsha book that talks about the Parsha in a very simple way and gives them a nice idea that they can walk away with. So they have the ability to have literacy. literature. In addition, any soldier who expresses interest in having tefillin, for example, we provide that for them in our own expense. And we also have seminars for female soldiers in which many male soldiers as well are getting married, and we want them, and they're encouraged to, and hopefully most of them do, get married through chuppah v'kiddushin. And as such, under Jewish law, we take the female soldiers, we take them to a mikveh. We have women lecturers who do so, and they explain to them the concept of a ritual bath, of a mikveh, what it means, where it comes from, why it's a beautiful concept. And we have found that it's extremely impressionable in a very positive way. Of course, there are always soldiers who grew up in an anti-environment and who might not be receptive, and they don't have to come. They're allowed to stay outside of the seminar, outside most of the time, outside of the lecture, and that's their prerogative. But generally speaking, they're at least open to hearing, and usually there's a very very positive response. It doesn't mean they jump right in and have this what we call leap of faith, but certainly they have a certain amount of their taste in their mouth is a lot more positive and better by the time we finish speaking with them and discussing with them in a very friendly, warm, congenial atmosphere than they had before.
And a majority of them, we can point out, likely came from families that had members of Tzahal in them already. Certainly a majority, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I will tell you that in my work in the kibbutzim and the moshavim, in the secular world in Israel, that the parents today, the Israeli parents today, who I guess you would call would be more from the kibbutz sentiment, which certainly would not embrace a religious lifestyle, are struggling to get their kids to at least identify as being Jewish. And they very much want that. They don't want them to be religious by any stretch of the imagination, but they very much want them to be Jewish. And they don't know exactly how to do that. They don't know what exactly that means. And that's where myself and our organization, that's where we come in, Makom Meshutaf, where we try to demonstrate to them that Judaism doesn't have to be coercive, but there is a common ground that all of us have as Jews in which we can embrace principles, foundations, values, holidays, things that speak to us as Jewish people. And hopefully through that, we believe that it certainly will impact Israeli secular society to realize that that Judaism can be beautiful. Unfortunately, Judaism here in Eretz Yisrael and Israel, I imagine in other places as well, but I'm dealing with here, is not always packaged attractively. Let's just say it like that. And we try to package it in an attractive fashion without forcing it upon anyone, but that they should feel that it's something that is welcoming and something that is extremely valuable to appreciating and understanding that we're part of a nation, that we're connected to a land, and that's what's going to certainly perpetuate our future.
Rabbi Shalom Hammer, he's author of the Family Parsha book. We should point out, by the way, back to the Parsha book for a moment, that for especially for some of the young people out there, but really for everybody, as you just said, the packaging is important. The more fun you can make an experience, even studying the Parsha, the more likely it'll make an impression, especially on the young people. And you've, because of the format that you've utilized between the quiz questions and the different highlights and the format of the book in general, I think you've made it a lot of fun. And I'm sure you as an educator can appreciate that that can go a long way, especially with the young people out there.
Exactly right. We wanted to make it fun. We wanted to make it attractive. We didn't want to make it a game because, you know, there's a certain amount of respect and understanding that we're talking about the Torah here. But yes, we wanted to make it accessible to kids of all ages. There are questions that little kids could not answer, could not necessarily deal with, but they could sit around and they could hear the explanation of what's going on, and that makes it a little more challenging for the older kids. And it's very age-friendly for all various ages, including adults. In addition, Cohen Publishing, which is just a wonderful publisher, I don't need to tell you, their goal now with the Family Parsha book is to offer it as a textbook for schools so that teachers can use it as a tool to engage the classroom. So it's going to be sold and modeled for that purpose as well, and I think that that's going to really obviously there's a spreading its influence and also impact learning and understanding in the classroom.
Rabbi Shalom Hammer served under the Rabbinate Division of the IDF and currently serves as lecturer for IDF to help motivate troops in all divisions and infuse Jewish identity. In addition, he's currently involved in the organization which he started called Makom Meshutaf, presenting programs throughout the country on the basics of Judaism without coercion to secular kibbutzim and moshavim. You can find out more at makommeshutaf.com. Rabbi Hammer is contributing writer for the Jerusalem Post, has authored 5 books, is a renowned guest lecturer for communities throughout the diaspora, including the U.S., United Kingdom, South Africa, and Australia. More information at rabbihammer.com. And he is available for speaking engagements throughout the year. And to book a lecture or Shabbat weekend, you could visit rabbihammer.com for more information. The book is entitled The Family Parsha Book. It is a Magid Books release. Koren Publishers, Jerusalem, of course, responsible for it. KorenPub.com for more information. KorenPub.com for more information. Rabbi Hammer, always a delight to speak with you. Thank you very much for joining us, and good luck with the book and all your amazing efforts.
It's a pleasure, Nachum, and I'll tell you this. You do my bio so well that I want to invite you that if you ever decide to leave the radio station, please come on tour with me, and we can do it together. You do a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. Now I'm not quite sure what I want to do with my future after that offer. Thank you so much.
Well, be in touch. I'd be happy to always discuss.
I appreciate that. Rabbi Shalom Haber here at the Nachum Segal Network. You've been listening to Buy the Book, our friends at Koren Publishers, an amazing and incredible program that gives us an opportunity to speak with wonderful authors about their incredible books every single week here at the Nachum Segal Network, 9:30 a.m. every single Wednesday. And I thank Koren Publishers for giving me the opportunity to speak to Rabbi Hammer regarding his book entitled The Family Parsha Book. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Nachum Segal Network. That's the Facebook update page. On Twitter, at Nachum Segal Net. And make sure to check out all of our archives, both at NachumSegal.com and on the NSN app. You are listening to the Nachum Segal Network. ¶¶